Let's get to our guest, Gaurav Malik, Chief Investment Strategist at State Street Global Advisors. Gaurav, we understand that the Fed doesn't want easier financial conditions. It wants tighter financial conditions. Is that a good thing that they're telling us that, warning investors that, you know, if you buy stocks because you're confident in seeing value for them 12 months down the road, or if you're buying bonds because you're nervous and that drives down interest rates and that makes conditions easier, well, be forewarned because we don't like it, so you shouldn't do it. I mean, is it a good thing that they're warning us or a bad thing that they're telling us how to do our jobs?
It's an interesting question, frankly, right? I mean, they do want most consumers to behave the way you're describing it, right? They do want financial conditions to tighten because it makes their job much easier. They don't have to raise rates as much. But frankly, consumers and I would say many investors are also seeing the fact that inflation is falling at a very fast rate. Investors and consumers are also seeing the fact that the Fed is going to continue keeping rates really high. And in that process, they're going to potentially push the economy into recession, which means they're going to be forced very soon to cut rates. And I think it's that viewpoint that is keeping stock markets a bit more upbeat or buoyant than where the Fed would like to see them. So it's a challenge for them as to how they play this out. I think our perspective on it is that they will probably push the rates, keep them high, wait for that spot number on inflation to change, and then you'll probably see rate cuts sooner than the market may be anticipating because the slowdown is very palpable.
Yeah, we had Neil Kashkari saying another 100 basis points in the first half of 2023. So that's rather at odds with what you're saying. If we do see some easing this year, when do you think that might be?
So I don't think, I mean, it's not our base case to see 100 basis points. We certainly do price in 5.25 as peak rates. If you look at Fed's history, typically when rates peak, you normally see a cutting cycle occurring on average in 25 to 30 weeks time. So from our standpoint, if rates peak some point in time, let's just say in Q1, then by the end of the year, which is kind of what the market is now as well at, that you can expect there to be a rate cut occurring, which means at some point in time, call it between in H2, risk assets start repricing the fact that there could be growth occurring in 2024 because of the fact that the rate cutting cycle has started. So that's our base case.
Yeah, maybe it's a pet peeve of mine, but it just feels like, you know, overstepping one's bounds. For instance, we had Stephen Major on yesterday, head of fixed income research at HSBC. They're predicting the 10-year yield will be down to 2.5% by the end of this year because they think the Fed will go too far and the market will reflect that and yields will fall. So in effect, you wonder where the Fed, where does it go next? Does it tell companies don't hire people because you're complicating our job?
Well, I mean, whether the Fed says or does not say, in effect, that's what companies are doing. I mean, I think companies still have, you know, high number of vacancies. But if you go inside and look and speak with company management, what you find is the same thing, that they're keeping the vacancy rate high because they want the flexibility to see if there's a recovery, they'll continue hiring. If there is a potential of a recession, these are just vacancies, frankly, that they can cut back on. As we look at the labor markets, what we do find is that there is definitely a slowdown that's occurring in the large mega cap sector. There is a slowdown occurring also in the middle and small companies. It's only the segment that's sitting sub, call it 50 employees, where we still see robust hiring and we do see a lot of vacancies in that part of the market. But those are generally more lower wage jobs. So they don't complicate Fed's picture in terms of there being wage hikes and wage-related inflation. So, you know, whether the Fed says it or not, that's what companies are doing. Companies are being careful about how they're hiring. I mean, you saw that with the news story on Amazon today, Salesforce. I mean, you're seeing that across the board.
Yeah, and we'll get a better steer on that at the end of the week when we get those jobs numbers out of the U.S. as well. But how about earnings and profits? When do you see those improving?
So, I mean, typically the cycle you follow with this is, I mean, I think that, you know, you're going to continue seeing earnings decline. Now, I don't see earnings falling down, and just use S&P as an example. We don't see earnings falling down to call it a 200 level, which would be indicative of of there being a, you know, slightly bigger than a mild growth recession. We don't see earnings falling to that level, but I think earnings are going to continue staying challenged through till, I would say, easily into 2023, almost all of 2023. You're going to see declines, but we see more like a, call it a 215, 220 number, rather than 235, which is where consensus is right now. So we do see a marked change occurring. And then there is this interesting dynamic that starts playing out with stock markets, which is that markets start forecasting and saying, okay, is the Fed going to do any rate cuts, which means future earnings are going to be better, which leaves room for the multiple to expand. So either way, there is a reasonable chance that you can see some risk asset rally occurring in the latter half of 2023 heading into 2024. So, but the first half is challenged.
Because we're seeing some gains right now, but that may just be some, you know, readjustment from big losers last year and such, and just, you know, getting back a little bit of lost ground. For taking on real risk, what's the trigger for you in seeing that happening in the second half?
So it's interesting, right? I mean, what played out in the last 2 weeks is what we thought would play out in all of 2023, right? That we expected some of these conditions start improving, Chinese growth to get better, the dollar to stabilize and start its march down, which would give room for risk assets to start rallying, stabilization occurring in the long end of the curve, which we do see well anchored because of, you know, the same demographic forces that existed before COVID. Those things would overtake, put a lid on where the 10-year can go up to. We just saw that occur in a very contracted period of time. So I think heading into H1, it would not surprise us if markets were to decline by another 5 to 10%. So that would come as no surprise. We do see somewhat, and again, I just use S&P as an example, we do see somewhat of a, call it demand occurring at the 3,400, 3,500 level. So sort of testing June lows that can occur, but there is demand at that state. So in effect, we don't see it falling much lower than that. So decline occurring in the first half and sort of second half recovery. So things that played out in these, call it last 6 to 8 weeks, slowly but surely playing out again in 2023 is our base case. In terms of trigger, I think the big trigger for us would be looking at Q2 and seeing what occurs with China. Clearly, we've seen a change in tone, but also we've seen the effect of COVID, and it's a little bit difficult to gauge really what's occurring on the ground, right? So we're being a bit cautious about, we know that Q4 is obviously severely challenged. We suspect Q1 is also going to continue being challenged. But as we get into Q2, we do see the consumer recover strongly. So we do see more like a 6% growth occurring on the consumption side, back to the levels we saw in 2018, 19, 21. So that would be a big trigger.
We got about 30 seconds left. I'm just wondering about China. You're cautious, but do you risk missing the bus here? We've seen the Golden Dragon Index up 13% in 2 days.
I mean, you know, it is up a reasonable amount, but again, you look at the declines that have occurred, 50, 60% over the last 2 years, 13% still leaves room for investors to make some money in China if there is some conviction around fiscal easing, around consumption coming back, and really we can look past COVID. So there
well,
is
and policy changes, absolutely. Gaurav, thank you so much. Gaurav Malik from State Street Global Advisors.